You know, backstage, we thought our guest speaker this morning requires no introduction. And for some of you, he does not require any introduction. But then again, I thought, you know what? Some of you, he does require introduction. Some of you have never met Pastor Mike San Martino before. So, ladies and gentlemen, with great pleasure, we present to you our former associate pastor of Family Ministries, our partner in crime, in some cases, our mentor and friend, Mr. Pastor Michael San Martino.
So good to see all of you, and in some ways it feels like time has stood still and that we left yesterday. It feels that way to see some of you, but then I look at the kids and they're much bigger versions of the people that we knew 5 years ago. It's like, you know, is that Jake Massey? You know, is that a grown-up Andrew Gordon? Is that Joey Pash that's greeted me at the door? And these kids have just gotten so big, and it's so exciting to see. Some of you have gotten smaller, though. But that's just, you know, that's just the way it goes. That's the way it goes. But it feels like time has stood still in some ways, and we have, you know, so much relationship here and such deep, deep friendships. We're so thankful for all of you. You have meant so much to us over the years, and we've taken your love with us up to Washington, and we've needed it at times. We've really needed it there, but it's just such a delight to be back with you. I was praying and asking the Lord, what do our dear brothers and sisters in Christ need from you today? What is it, God, that's on your heart for your children that you love so much? And what he kept putting on my heart was that they need to just realize and remember that God is just so crazy in love with them, that he just loves them and he loves me so, so much, and that we can get lost in his crazy love and enjoy him and have a heart for him, and the heart for him that we have is the heart that he gives us for him. So let's just pray for a moment, and we'll look at the word together. Father God in heaven, we come before you, and you are so awesome, so powerful, so loving. Just fill us, Lord. Flood us with your love this morning. Just overwhelm us with you, with the presence of you, with the power of you. Give us something from your word that will abide in us, that will remain in us, that will make us stronger in you, that will allow us to be filled with your love and to return it back to you. Thank you, God, for your power and your presence here with us this morning with our dear friends. In Jesus' name, amen. What does the Bible mean by the word heart? And how many of you have worked in Awana Ministries here at ABF? Raise your hands. How many of you? That's a lot of hands. That's a lot of hands. You know, that's the only thing that I've done consistently now for about 17 years is work in Awana. So a lot of my job description has changed and so forth over the years, but I've been in Awana for 17 years. I got my 18-year pin this year. Isn't that incredible? Some of you here have your 30-year pin, probably. But do you know what heart means according to the Awana book? Anybody know? Do you need to remember what that means? The definition for heart? The real you on the inside. The real you on the inside, and I really like that. The Hebrew word lebab for heart means heart, mind, the inner person, the inner being, the entirety of a person that God can know and can be known by God. And God can know us entirely. He can know every little ounce of us, every little bit of us. He knows us, and yet he loves us. Even in the messiness of who we are, he loves us in the middle of that. And so that's what heart is. Something my dear friends Bill and Becky Heatley have taught me over the years is that God is most concerned about forming our heart. He's not as concerned about other things, but he is so concerned about forming our heart. And our hearts are being formed. And sometimes we're not aware of that. They're being formed by the pressures of the world and the anxieties we face and the changes and the transitions that we sometimes constantly go through and the fears that we have. And our hearts are being formed. But God wants to form our hearts. The greatest need you and I have, the greatest need of collective humanity, is renovation of our heart. The spiritual place within us from which outlook, choices, and actions come has been formed up by a world away from God. Now it must be transformed, Dallas Willard says in his book, Renovation of the Heart. And isn't that so true for us? Is that our hearts are being formed, and they're just being formed according to the way the world would want them to be formed. And it just happens, and life happens, and it seems so out of our control. And yet God says, you know what? Let me in. Let me into your heart. Let me into your life, because I want to transform you, and I want to form you after myself. And I can do that, God tells us. So allow me in. Allow me the opportunity to do that. So I was thinking about who is it in Scripture that would inspire us the most today that has a heart after God? And we know that the Scripture tells us that David has a heart after God. And yet, when you look at the biography of David, when you look at his lifestyle, when you look at his life values, he hardly seems like the poster child, right, for somebody who has a heart after God. I mean, you think about, immediately, you think of Psalm 51, and you think of the sin and the rebellion and the wrongdoing in David's life, and you think about his arrogance and his pride and the fact that he was a violent man and the fact that he committed adultery and murder. And, you know, he didn't really repent about all that stuff right away, did he? He had a plan to get away with it. And he thought he was going to get away with it. And he thought it was perfectly covered up until God said, you know what, I'm looking at your heart. And I care about you, and I care about your heart. And I'm going to expose that sin in your life for everybody to see, and it's going to be the best thing for you. And so that's what God did for him. God chose David because he wanted to work on his heart. And finally, David did come clean, didn't he? Finally came clean, and when his sin was exposed, he said, you know what? I did that. I own that. I killed this man. I slept with his wife. I did that. And he owned that, and there was a part of David's heart there that we see that we want to emulate, because when he was confronted with the worst part of his personality, he came before Almighty God, and he allowed God into his life. He allowed God into his life. God wants to work in our hearts this morning. And he's not so impressed with our skills. He's not so impressed with our crafts, our abilities, our image, our pedigree. But he wants to work in our hearts. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. So that was God speaking to Saul and saying, I'm going to replace you with David, a man after my own heart. And then God says about David in Acts 13:22, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. So what was so impressive about David's heart that we want to have here this morning? What was it about him? Well, it started with the fact that David desired a pure heart. He desired a pure heart from God. Psalm 51:10, create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 19, verse 14, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 26, 2, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. And Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139. You know, we know more about David's heart, his inner feelings, his emotions, the stuff that was going on in his life, than we know about any other person in the Bible. Do you know that? Because he made his journal available to us. It's the Psalms. Those are his songs to God, where David reveals all the stuff of his heart. And you can see in those Psalms that David was angry. He was so angry at God sometimes. And he was vindictive, and he wanted revenge over people's lives. And he was ashamed of his life at times. And yet, all that messiness of his heart, he brought it before Almighty God. And he said, here I am. You know who I am. Here's my heart before you, O God. Take this heart, take this stuff in me, and please, somehow, give me a pure heart. Deliver me a pure heart. So that's our example. That's our David. And so can we ask the Lord this morning for him to examine our hearts? Can we be that vulnerable this morning and say to Almighty God, Lord, the stuff that's in there, that's being formed by the world and my habits and my thoughts and that are heading me in the wrong direction away from you, Lord, I give that stuff to you this morning and come into the mix and start to shape me and form me and make me after yourself and so thoroughly convince me of your crazy love for me. Your just crazy, crazy love for me. That's our God. So that's our starting point right there, is to ask God for a pure heart. Now, David also demonstrated a zealous heart for God. And if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. And we'll take a look at the zeal of David as he danced before the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 12 and following. Now, the scene here is when the Ark of the Covenant is finally returning to Israel after it had been held by the Philistines. And so David was so excited about this because it represented Almighty God. It represented his personality and his power and his protection coming back to Israel. And so David was so excited about this as the Ark began to enter into Jerusalem, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. And so it was that when the bearers of the Ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling, and David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Then it happened, as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. She despised him. Why did David's wife despise him? I mean, up until this point, she had really been in his corner. She'd helped him escape. She had been there for him. But she saw David leaping and dancing in his underwear in front of the handmaidens of Jerusalem, and she was embarrassed. She was ashamed. She was mortified for herself and for David and for his station in life. And she thought it was so unbecoming of the king. Look down at verse 20 now. But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants' maids, as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his throne to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will celebrate before the Lord. I will be more lightly esteemed than this and will be humble in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished." And so David was so overcome with the zeal of God, with the joy that God put in his heart for what was happening in this situation with the Ark coming back in Jerusalem, he couldn't help but contain himself, and he started dancing before the Lord, before all his people, all his men, and it didn't matter what other people thought of him. He didn't care. It was just him and the Lord, and he was in this worship mode, and he was enjoying just this incredible, crazy love of God. How often does that happen in our lives? We're so caught up in the zeal of the Lord that we're dancing in our underwear and we don't care what people think. That's never happened to me. Probably a good thing. But to be that caught up in the worship of the Lord that we just don't care
what other people think. It's just us and the Lord. We're just focused. And I think about the penguin on Happy Feet, you know, and just going for it, just dancing his heart out, you know, and just everybody else is singing, but he's dancing, right? I think about that. I think about Mario Pacifici. Where's Mario? Is he here? The first person I thought of when I thought of somebody dancing with zeal before the Lord and not caring what other people think, I thought of Mario Pacifici. Do you want to dance? No, just save it for later. But you know, I want to have some of that. I want to have some of that in me, where I can just be so caught up with the Lord that I'm just dancing. You know, I'm dancing and I'm enjoying the Lord and I'm holding my hands up and I'm worshiping and I'm clapping and I just, my heart before God is just so caught up with who He is, so captured by Him in His love, that it doesn't matter what is going on around me. I'm just zeroed in on my God, and I want to love Him, enjoy Him, and receive all that incredible love He has for us. So that's David's heart. That's David. That's the heart that God wants us to have, to receive His love and to give it back. So what is getting in the way of that for you today? What is it for you? Do you care too much what other people think of you? Do you? Do you just care too much about what they think about the way you act or the way you look? Or Bill, you're not even in this, okay? We're just, you're a different category. But, you know, maybe it's just the exhaustion of life. Maybe it's the exhaustion of ministry, the fatigue, you know? Alice and I can sum up our 5 years in Washington with one word, and that's tired. Really tired. And when you're exhausted, when you're dealing with fatigue issues, it's hard to be so filled with the Lord when you're tired, when you're just tired of it all. And maybe that's your issue. Maybe you're just tired this morning. Maybe you feel beat up. Maybe you just feel beat up. Someone in the congregation told me that they had been at ABF 10 years, and ABF has been in transition for 10 years. I thought, could that be? Is that right? Is that right? I thought, you know, that's right. That's a lot of transition. That's a lot to go through, to keep going through. And so maybe you're just sick of transition. Let's just get there, wherever there is, right? Amen. And you feel that way. But you know what? In the midst of all that, in the midst of fatigue, in the midst of all the issues of life and ministry, we can still be so filled with the Lord and so overcome with Him that we can be enjoying Him with zeal, with joy. And that's the goal. Because one of the things that I think Alice and I are realizing is that we're really never, ever going to get there, wherever there is, you know, where everything is sort of rosy and things are working out well and life is really just copacetic for all the family members and everybody's just doing great and the church is just on this road to heaven, you know. It's just going to we're just going to slip into the arms of Jesus. And we're just going to, you know, it's just going to be heaven. And it's just never going to be that way. So in the midst of the messiness of life, we can be embraced by our Lord and our God. David worshipped with a grateful heart. He had a grateful heart. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. Psalm 73, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know that David wrote most of his Psalms when he was a fugitive, when he was running from King Saul and he thought he was going to die? And that was the greatest output of poetry and worship in the Psalms. Over 10 Psalms are attributed to that period of time. And sometimes in the middle of pain, God speaks the loudest to our hearts. And it's so cool that in David's life, he has a gratefulness to God, even in the midst of struggle and pain and all the stuff he's going through. We're just not prepared sometimes for the stuff that's coming next in life. We just don't know what it's going to be. And then when it's a little different than we expect and our expectations are changed, and then all of a sudden we become unglued, you know, little things like, we go to Costa Rica on a missions trip, and they don't have tortillas, you know? What is up with that? This was one of Dave Massey's biggest issues on his last trip to Costa Rica. It's like, where's all the good Mexican food, right? Where's the chimichangas? Where's the burritos? Where's the torritos? There wasn't even a gordito. They didn't have any tortillas in Costa Rica. Dave was eating his rice and his beans for breakfast and lunch and dinner. And it's like, where's the joy in that? Try having a grateful heart in the middle of that, right? But you somehow managed, right? You somehow managed with your rice and beans, and you gave thanks in the middle of it. And when you got back to Mexico City, you had your tortillas, right? So we worship God with a grateful heart, even though he keeps changing stuff up on us all the time. He's just always changing stuff up on us. And all of you folks that are about to go on your missions trip this summer, you know, just don't even expect anything. It's just things are going to change. My first time to Saransk, and I had my sermon ready to go, and I had really prayed over it. I knew this is what the Lord had for this church. And Pastor Vladimir came up to me and he said, let me tell you what you're going to preach about. He said, you see that lady in the front row? She's like this. I said, I see that lady. He said, you see that lady in the front row? And she's like this with her back. He said, they hate each other, these two ladies. And it's driving me crazy. He said, so preach to them. And then, he walked away. And I said to my interpreter, I said, was that for real? Is that really what I think he said? My new sermon is going to be for these ladies and then somehow for the rest of the church. She said, that's it. That's your assignment. Dear Lord, you know, I know you're enough. I know your word's enough. I know your Holy Spirit's enough, but I've got nothing right now. I got nothing for these ladies. What am I going to say to them? And I just started. I just opened the Bible. I just went, you know what the word says to all of us this morning? And the Lord found this incredible scripture. It was just like perfect for these ladies and for the whole congregation. He just sometimes God just changes things up on us, and we have to go with it. David also prayed for a brave heart. He's the original brave heart, David. And he needed a brave heart. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. David lived as a warrior king. I mean, he was a soldier. He was a warrior. And he needed a brave heart. He needed to trust God in those real life situations. How many of you have ever been in combat? Line of duty. Anybody here been in combat before? I don't see any hands at all. Nobody at all. Nobody's been in combat, actual combat. Wait a minute, Doug and Eva, where? You guys have been in combat. Give it up for Doug and Eva. Yeah. The World War II generation right there. Eva were you a wave or a whack? I don't know. A wave. She was a wave, so that's pretty cool. You know what? I've never been in warfare in my life, but I've played paintball before. And that's the closest I've ever come to warfare. And man, my heart was pounding. And there were guys that wanted to take me out. They wanted to kill me. I'd been targeted. And I'm running through the brush, and I'm trying to get higher position. I'm trying to shoot guys' brains out. And I was just, you know, and this was on a men's retreat, and you just want to kill these guys, and they want to kill you. And I was just so, I mean, the adrenaline was just flowing as I'm running at these guys and shooting, and people are shooting me. I got hit right in the face mat, right in the eye, and the pain just went, vroom. I hit one guy off the head. There was one guy that decided that he was so buff that he didn't need any kind of, like, sweatshirt or anything. And he had just, like, wounds that were oozing after that kind of adventure. But after that, you know, all of us guys were done with that. We were just emotionally spent. I mean, after paintball. And we just had to help each other back to the camp. And we were so exhausted. And we all said, you know, could you imagine what it really is like to be in real warfare? I mean, you can't even imagine. And yet, you know what? All of us this morning are in real warfare, aren't we? And it's so much more intense than what David dealt with, because we're in spiritual warfare. And we have to have hearts that are tuned to Almighty God. And so hearts that are pure and hearts that are filled with zeal and hearts that are grateful, but hearts that are brave enough to see that we're in this terrible battle. And people are getting wounded and hurt all over the place. And he gave us this powerful weapon of prayer. And from what I've heard about the Agape Tour this year, God did some cool things as people prayed. And you went into some settings like you normally do, and you can see the darkness of the evil one, and people are just hurting. They're in pain. They're in agony. And it's like you look out at a crowd like that, and you think, what are we going to do to reach these people? And yet, after a powerful prayer from the Lord, and it just changes the whole environment, God just pops in there, and hearts are now ready. And that's warfare prayer. And so God's given us a brave heart to follow him. David prayed for a faithful heart. You know, trust is such a big issue, isn't it? Trust is, I think, the biggest issue in our lives is, can we really trust our God to love us and take care of us? Because sometimes he just messes it up completely according to our ideas and our plans. And he takes us on the long road through, and he takes us through all kinds of crud, and we say, how in the world could this be possible that our God does this? It's about trust. So Jesus alone can form our new heart, and this new heart relationship is based on trust. It has to be based on trust. It's all about trust. Trust that if we surrender the most vulnerable parts of who we are, like David did, that God will come into those places and bring the wholeness and bring the healing and bring the love and bring all that we need. So as you do a heart check this morning, as you meditate on the scriptures, as you listen to the Holy Spirit, we all need to ask the question, what is God telling us about the condition of our heart? What does he want to work on in our hearts, in our lives? What does God want to do? And I have sort of a way to illustrate this morning, a little bit of an experiment, because what God's been teaching me is this, that I need to relax and let him lead. See, I'm trying to lead God, and God is telling me, relax and let me lead, because if I let him lead, things go well for me. So I want to try to illustrate this in a way that I can as a visiting guest, knowing that if I'm never invited back, that's fine. So, I want to invite a lady to come up and dance with me on stage, and we're going to dance together, and she's going to have to trust my leadership and how I'm able to dance with her. So, are there any volunteers at all that would like to dance with me on stage? Anybody that feels comfortable. I see some hands in the back. Oh, look, here's a hand right here in the front. Why? Look, it's Becky Heatley. Come on up, Becky. Becky, I want you to know that I grew up sort of Baptist, and so I don't really have a lot of dancing ability.
Okay, me too.
And you so Becky said me too. So I'm not going to repeat that, but... And so I think we're going to just try this and see how this goes. But first of all, how do you feel about being up here to begin with?
You're one of the few people on the planet I would do this. A little weird.
It's very weird, Becky. It's very weird and it's very awkward. So let's just, and this is part of my sermon. So let's just try to... Okay, maybe just if I go like this.
And every time it rains, it rains. And it's from heaven.
Maybe this way. Was that more awkward or less awkward than you thought it would be?
Well, I started getting where I could follow you.
That's scary. So that was really bad dancing, and I didn't lead you very well. because I can't really dance. So
I need to learn to follow you.
So it might have been hard for you to relax in that, but what we're going to ask Bill to do is we're going to ask you and Bill to dance because he's your life partner, and you guys have a little bit more dancing experience together. So why don't we let these guys dance and see how it works out this time.
And it rains, it rains, and it's from heaven.
Shooby dooby.
Don't you know each cloud contains and it's from heaven.
See, now that works so much better. And there's a point to this. I know it's hard to see right now, but there's a point to this, and that is that God is our dance partner for life. He really is. He is our dance partner, and it's God that's extending a hand to us and saying, trust me. Trust me with this tough situation called life, and relax in that because I will lead you. And, you know, it only takes one dance partner for there to be a successful dance. You just need to have somebody that can lead, and then the other person can follow. And in that situation where, you know, Bill and Becky have danced before to some of this crazy music, you kids these days. And so there's more of a comfort level, although dancing in front of all your closest friends and church family, probably there was some discomfort in that, some awkwardness, but yet there's a trust because this is your life partner and this is your dance partner. And so I think it's a good metaphor for what God's saying to us this morning, and that is, I'm extending my hand to you, and I want you to come to me and trust me with your life and with your heart. And with all that stuff that you're dealing with, and trust me that I'm not just going to help you unpack it. I'm going to bring you wholeness. I want to bring you health. I want to bring you joy. I want to bring you zeal. So seek me and find me, and I'll be there for you. And in all of that, relax. Don't stress. Don't strive. Relax. That's been God's message to me and Alice for now for the last 8 weeks, as he's been saying to us, relax in me, let me be God. Let's pray together as we close. Father God in heaven, you know what's going on in each one of our hearts this morning. I pray that if there's somebody here this morning that is at a place in their life where they're struggling and they're striving and there's pain, and they feel like they're doing it all alone, I pray, oh God, in faith and trust that that person or those people would reach out to you this morning by faith and say, God, I trust you. Come into my life. Come into my heart. I'm going to relax in your leadership. Come in. I invite you in. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my heart. Jesus, I invite you into my life. Come into me. Make me whole. Forgive me for all the times in my life where I try to do it without you, where I try to just do it on my own strength, where I haven't made room for you, where I've fallen and I've failed and I've hurt myself and I've hurt others. And I surrender all that stuff to you this morning, Jesus. Come in. I feel your hand extended to me. I feel the warmth of your love. I walk into your embrace. I walk into your love. I receive by faith fullness of your love. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each heart this morning, anybody that's in that place. Or Lord, for those that have been walking with you for many years, but perhaps this is a season where fatigue has set in, Lord, where there's new issues and new struggles, Lord, may there be a freshness that comes in trusting you this morning. May there be a new start, a new freshness, a new excitement, a new zeal, because you haven't changed. You're still our awesome, powerful, loving, kind God. Maybe we've turned. Maybe we've gone down a wrong alley. Maybe we've gotten caught up in the busyness of the world, Lord. Bring us back. Bring us back into your presence. Fill us up. Fill us up, Lord. Mold our hearts. Form our hearts so that we can have a heart like yours. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Would you thank Pastor Mike for coming and sharing with us one more time? he knows your name, and he's leading you, and he's leading me, and he's leading this church. And let's consider that and remember that as we greet one another, as we share a time of fellowship with long-standing friends. God bless you guys. You know what? We're going to do the right thing. Lord Jesus, we lift up our hand again for the San Martino family. We thank you for their ministry here. We thank you that it still matters, even as time draws distance between their service here and the current moment. We know, Lord, that an offering given in your name, given to your people, stands the test of time, and I thank you for reminding us of that this morning. Lord, we lift up their ministry in Washington. We lift up their church. We lift up their elders and their children. I lift up their worship leader, Lord. May he or she be anointed and blessed by the Holy Spirit as they lead. Lord Jesus, let the San Martinos continue to experience your blessing in your favor in their lives, in their family. As Mike so eloquently stated, it's never going to be all right at the same time. So we thank you for the promise of heaven and the joys that you give us on the steps along the way. Lord, we extend our ABF family to Washington. We extend it wherever it needs to go, because your spirit is big enough and good enough and true enough to sustain us through the separation of time and space. Lord, thanks for drawing our hearts together this morning. Keep us bound closely, dancing effortlessly with you all week long until we can gather again to support and fellowship one another. In Christ's name we pray. But empowered by Christ's Holy Spirit, we pray. And under a banner of love put there by God our Father, we pray. And we say as a church, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.